Well, imagine with me that you are in an interview for a managerial job. An interview for a managerial job, a job you greatly desire. And the interviewer says to you, "You know, you seem a little meek. Are you? What would you say to that? You seem a little meek, are you? What would you say in that job interview?" I found a person asking about that on a business website. She was going to be going to an interview for a new job, and in her current job, one of her managers had said to her that she was a bit meek. And so she is asking a question: how do I avoid appearing meek when starting a new job? What do you think of that question? Is meekness a desirable characteristic, or is it one that we should avoid? Is meekness desirable in some places, like home, for instance, but not in other places, like work? Or are we just better off without meekness entirely? I ask because meekness is the theme of the verse that we're going to look at today. Last Sunday, we started a short series of sermons that I'm calling Blessed Living. It's based on a passage known as the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are the opening statements of a sermon that Jesus gave on a mountainside. Jesus' disciples were sitting near him, and around him was a great crowd of people. Of that crowd, many were sick and downcast. Most of the people in that crowd knew a lot of trouble, a lot of misery. And Jesus began his sermon by describing blessed living, which last week we learned means truly happy living. When you are blessed, you have a true, deep-seated, unwavering happiness, joy. When you are blessed, you have a joy that is present even in the midst of trials. Jesus began his sermon by describing blessed living. And what he said about blessed living is shocking, shocking. We're going to continue to learn from his words today. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to again read all of the Beatitudes. We're going to just focus on one of them, but we're going to read them all. Verses 2 through 12. I ask you to turn to that passage and please stand for the reading of God's word. We stand in honor of God, recognizing that this is his holy word to us. And after the reading, I encourage you to just keep your Bibles open so you can see all of the Beatitudes as I talk about them and specifically about one of them. And Jesus opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Let's pray together. Father, as we again focus on these wonderful statements of blessed living, we pray that you would give us understanding and help us to respond rightly so that we might fully know this happiness, this joy, this blessing that you intend for us through Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Last week, I introduced this whole list, and then I explained the first two Beatitudes. And regarding the whole list, there are two points I want to just quickly review. One point is that this list is all-inclusive. Jesus is not describing eight different ways to be blessed. He's not describing eight different people. Jesus is not saying there are some who mourn who are blessed, and there are others who are peacemakers who are blessed. This list is all-inclusive. You either have all of the characteristics or you have none of them. And a second point is that the list flows together. It flows together. The first characteristics listed bring about the other characteristics. We saw that flow by looking at the first two characteristics, the first two Beatitudes last week. The first Beatitude is poor in spirit, which we learned is the recognition that you are spiritually poor. You have sinned against God, and you don't deserve or merit anything from Him. You come to God begging for grace and mercy, dressed in the filthy garments of sin. That's the beginning of a true relationship with Jesus. You come to Jesus recognizing your sin, recognizing what you really deserve is to be condemned, trusting that Jesus is gracious and merciful, and so you come on your knees to Him. And that characteristic leads to a second characteristic, namely mourning. You lament the sins that you have committed. You wish you had lived differently. You hate the sins that you have committed in the past. You hate the sins that you continue to be tempted with, as well as those as you have recently fallen to. You mourn your sin, which you know is against your holy, good Creator God. Concerning those first two Beatitudes, I want to read you a passage I did not read last week, a passage in which we meet a person displaying these first two Beatitudes, as well as a person who is displaying the opposite of these first two Beatitudes. This is a parable Jesus told. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The tax collector was poor in spirit, mourning his sinfulness. And he came before God begging for mercy. God, be merciful. And the amazing good news is that the tax collector went home justified, which means the tax collector went home with salvation that very day, blessed with the kingdom of heaven, blessed with comfort, assured of all of that, because he came humbly and begged for mercy. And that's just simply a beautiful example of what Jesus is referring to with the first two Beatitudes. And those two Beatitudes flow into all of the other Beatitudes. Those first two Beatitudes are the beginning of a true relationship with Jesus that transforms your life. Now, the third beatitude is meekness. Verse 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And that's what we're going to now focus on for the rest of this sermon. The verse makes it very clear that when rightly understood, meekness is certainly not something we should avoid, but we should want to have it. We should want it to increase in our lives. Godly meekness is beautiful. It's a blessing. Earlier, I showed you this website in which the person asks, how do I avoid appearing meek when starting a new job? My guess is this person doesn't really know what godly meekness is. Godly meekness is beautiful. It's extremely desirable. And to understand what godly meekness is, what we're going to do is we're going to take two steps of study together. First, we're going to consider the meekest man in the Old Testament, and then we're going to consider the meekest man ever. That's our outline today. The meekest man in the Old Testament, we'll learn from him, and then we're going to look together at the meekest man ever. So let's begin with the meekest man in the Old Testament, which is where we'll spend the bulk of our time today. Do you have any thoughts on who the meekest man in the Old Testament might be? If you had to pick one person from the Old Testament as the meekest person, who do you think that person would be? Well, we're actually told. We're told who the meekest person is. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3 says this, "Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who are on the face of the earth." Moses was the meekest man of the Old Testament, or at least while Moses was alive. And so I ask you to think with me about Moses. Considering all the Old Testament and New Testament tells us about Moses, let's list some